So, by the way, what's today's date? What's today's date? Sorry? 15th, September 15th. And I'm sure all of you are greatly aware, because you opened up your old Farmer's Almanac today, although I don't have one, I went on the web, and you found out that this is the birthday of our 27th president, who was? Anybody? I don't know that either, unless I wrote it down here. William Howard Taft. Grant was pretty close. Very good. Who said that? Very good. Jimmy. If he were still alive, he'd be a sprightly 157 years old today, assuming I punched the numbers in my calculator right. Not only that, but it's the birthday of Tommy Lee Jones. He's 66 today. Oliver Stone, also 66. If you're not a film buff, then maybe you'll like Dan Marino, turned 51 today. And if I'm going way over here by age, how about Prince Harry, the youngest prince? He's 28 today. Although my favorite one out of the list was Agatha Christie, whose books I thoroughly enjoy and actually inspired a sermon of mine one time, if you want to listen to it, called And Then There Were None. She would have been 123 years old today. Of course, history isn't limited to just birthdays, is it? So in 1776, this is also from the Farmer's Almanac, so I give credit where credit is due. In 1776, the British occupied New York. In 1789, the U.S. Department of Foreign Affairs was renamed the, can you guess? Department of State. Jimmy, maybe you should cut. I've got the notes right here. You can do it. He actually doesn't. I have to look. He doesn't have to look. In 1913, this one's very important. In 1913, a milch goat show started at the Rochester Industrial Exposition in New York State. Well, it is a farmer's almanac, isn't it? And in 1963, a bomb killed four girls in a Birmingham, Alabama church that was popular for civil rights meetings. Which is kind of... You have to remember the bad things, too, right? We don't have a good history. And even though I would say that that last bit is something for our nation to be greatly ashamed because of, what I'd say is there's one more occurrence that happened today that I think has even led to a greater tragedy. Per InfoPlease.com, today, back in 1835, Charles Darwin and the HMS Beagle reached the Galapagos Islands. And if you think about it, the devil has used Charles Darwin's conclusions, in part from that trip, to deceive so many in the modern age, hasn't he? Well, as interesting as all of, well, most of those, I should say, facts are, it was something posted on the Pleasant View Church of Christ group page on Facebook that is the inspiration for today's sermon. It was posted by their pastor, Glenn Newton. And in trying to drum up, to encourage as many people as possible to come to church, he noted that Sunday, September 15, 2013 is, anybody know what it is? National Back to Church Sunday. National Back to Church Sunday. So I'm glad you all paid attention to that and showed up today. And in the spirit of the National Back to Church Sunday, I'm asking everybody hearing me, whether right in front of me or perhaps on the internet, because I am trying to broadcast, please return to the Catholic Church. Wait, did you hear me? I said, please return to the Catholic Church. Now, before anybody jumps up, accuses me of being a Romanist, and storms out those back doors, or perhaps the deacons and the elders come up, cuff me, and carry me out, just hold on for the punchline, okay? Hold on for the punchline. I suspect Jimmy already knows what it is, and Mike probably does too, and a few others. But if you think about it, before we can say come back to church, don't we have to define what church is? Come back to what? When you say come back to church, come back to what? And although Milton Berle, how many people here know this? Please, if you're my age, at least raise your hand. Now, I didn't watch him back in black and white or anything like that either, but he didn't define what the word was, but I kind of like this joke that he told to describe it. He goes, one thing about church, you're never too bad to come in, and you're never too go. I'm sorry, you're never too bad to come in, and you're never too good to stay out. Is that true? Very true. And since I've gone ahead and quoted him once, Let me give you another one from Uncle Milty. A newcomer to town is looking for a church to start attending. He drops in at the 4th Street Church just in time to hear the minister say, "We have left undone the many things we should have done, and we have done many of the things we shouldn't have done." The newcomer smiles and says to himself, "I found my group." Now, both of those are implicitly good descriptions of the church. Where do we go to define words that have to do with the biblical things? The Bible. Very good. Right here. So, if you were to take this Bible, this is an ESV, and you were to search for the word church in the English Standard Version, you'll get 109 hits and 106 verses. That's quite a bit, isn't it? Every one of them in the New Testament. And since we shoot for 20-ish minute sermons, and I've already eaten up quite a bit, you can be comforted by the fact that I will not go through every one of them. We'll choose a slight selection of them. And we'll start with the first occurrence of the word church in the Bible. Anybody here know what that is? It is in Matthew. So I'll tell you what, let's turn together. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. And by the way, I found out afterwards, I think last time I mentioned, well, it's not there this time, but last time I mentioned that it was weird because Mikey was sitting there, kept having this strange smile on his face, and it was because you all in the back were so quick at getting the verses up there, and I didn't know you were doing it. That's why he was smiling. Are we there? Matthew 16, 13 through 18. Now when Jesus came in to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen to that, huh? And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Okay, I probably threw in a couple bonus verses. So that actually is the first use of the word church. And, you know, by the way, because you know how I said somebody could claim that I was being a Romanist? Guess what the Catholic Church uses that verse for? All right, so don't worry. Don't worry. Two things. One, I'm not going to make the same argument they make. And two, they're wrong. But we're not going to go over that this. But we may go over it in the Bible study afterwards. Let me ask you this. In that context, you actually can see one of the most common uses of the word church. Is it referring to a group of people in a building in Jerusalem or Rome? That use of the word church? No. Is it referring to a denomination? No. Instead, it is referring to everyone who would ultimately join the body of Christ. It's referring to us. It's referring to you. Everyone who would, like Peter, make the same acknowledgement that Jesus is what? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, of those 109 hits, references, uses of the word church, and 106 verses, only three of them in two verses exist in the Gospels. Only three of them. Kind of interesting, huh? The second one is also in Matthew. It's in the section where Jesus outlines how to handle a situation where you are wronged by a brother or sister in Christ. Matthew 18, 17. I probably should have told you to keep your finger in Matthew. Matthew 18, 17. Let's turn there real quick. And you'll notice I don't cheat. I don't mark my Bible to make it easy because I figure I'm about an average person to find it. So it gives everybody else an opportunity. One thing I would always say, don't trust the board. Don't trust the preacher. Look at it yourself. Matthew 18:17. Even if you have to do it afterward. We won't read the whole thing around it. I recommend you do look at it. It's great advice. If he refuses to listen to them, this is the guy who's wronged you, or the gal who's wronged you, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So there you go. Two uses of the word church in one verse, and that's it. We have now read every case in the Gospels. Now we see that as another Christian context of the word church. Is it referring to the entire body of believers? Maybe. But if you were to use the advice, would you announce it on the internet to everybody? Perhaps, but I suspect it's more localized than that. Is it referring to a denomination? No. I don't know your name, but I like the way you shake your head. It makes it clear. Very good. What's your name? Jacob. Jacob, thank you very much. Jacob is right. Is it referring to a local church? I would suggest probably. But just in case, because Jacob's right, it might be a larger context. Let's turn to Acts 20, verse 17, and we'll see a different, definite use. Well, not necessarily different, but a definite use. 20, verse 17. And as you're looking, this is where it's time for Paul to move on. It's time for Paul to move on, and this is a very touching section of Scripture. As I did a sermon one time because of an interesting translation of a verse, it said we tore ourselves away from them in the Today's New International Version. Are you there? 20, verse 17. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, to come to him. There in Acts, we can specifically see without any argument the use of church to refer to a local congregation. Which one? The one in Ephesus, right? And although I didn't actually count them, as I looked, I actually did go through all 109 verses. It appears to be the most common use of the word church. It usually, if you're going to, you know, grab one use out of the Bible, most likely you're going to pull a use that has to do with a local congregation. Again, using the word church, because underneath, obviously, it's a Greek word, so it's in a Christian context. And as such, it is totally legitimate and biblical for us to be called the Arvada Church of Christ. So now we've found two ways that we can use the word church. One to refer to the local congregation, and another one to refer to the entire body of Christ. Is that all? Is that the only two uses of the word? I'm not talking about the Greek. You don't have to go back to the Greek lemma and come up. Can you think of any other uses of the word church in a scriptural Christian context? I actually found two more, not near as common as the first two. One's in 1 Corinthians 16:19. That's narrower, I would argue, than a congregation. And look at those, some turning ahead. I like that. And the other is in Acts 9:31, and it shows a context greater than a local congregation, but smaller than the world. Let's go ahead. 1 Corinthians 16:19. Still standing here amazed at how well the kids did. And congratulations on, did they graduate? What was the term for them? From graduating. I would never graduate the adult class if I had to do that. Are we there? 1 Corinthians 16:19. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with a church in their house. That's an interesting use of the word church. Now let me ask you this. Is, in that case, the church referring to the entire body of Christ? No. To a denomination? No. To a local body of Christ? Well, maybe. But maybe not. I put in here, I said, well, sort of. In this case, I personally treat it as something smaller. There are cases where even there might be a local congregation, but there might be a regular meeting for worship and study in somebody's house. And if you want to lump that in with the concept of local congregation, I'm not going to arm wrestle you over it, unless I'm bigger than you are. But since I get to preach today, we're going to go with that for right now. But how about Acts 9:31? Let's turn there. Acts 9:31. Acts 9:31. You'll be glad to see this time I did remember to turn on the microphone. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Okay, let me ask you this. Is that referring to the whole body of Christ? No. To a denomination, Jacob? Oh, he shook his head no, and he's right. A local body of Christ? No. Instead, it's referring to a church in an area, if you think about it. This is an area that it was speaking of, bigger than a local congregation, but smaller than the whole body of believers. And if you think about it, if you read through those 109 cases, sometimes when it actually appears to be referring to a local congregation, it could be referring to multiple ones. For instance, let's say I wrote an open letter or an article to the church in Denver. Might I not intend it for all the churches in Denver? And even Arvada? It's more of an expression. So, as a whole, we end up with four different uses of the word church. And I apologize, because at this point it probably seems like I'm up here doing some kind of school lesson or something like that, but we'll get past it. Number one, referring to a gathering, a regular gathering in somebody's house. Number two, referring to the local congregation, like we are here right now. Number three, referring to believers in an area, the church in Denver, of which I would argue we're a part of. And number four, referring to the entire body of Christ. Now, did you notice, by the way, that there was one question I asked about the use of the word church that never got the answer yes? Does anybody remember what that question was? What was it, Jacob? Denomination, exactly. I asked if it was referring, in all those different cases, to denomination. The Bible never uses the word church to refer to denomination. That is not a biblical use. That is a man-made use. Does it mean it's wrong? No, we have a right to use terms whatever way we want, but it's not a biblical use of a term, the term church, that is, specifically. And although I hope my presentation has been interesting enough up to now to keep the attention, I could see some of you saying, especially the younger ones, who are probably all laying on their parents' laps trying to sleep at this point, saying, it's a bit boring. Come on, Alan. However, I would argue we are not talking about a sterile scientific term here that just happens to divide. Take, for instance, in the Greek, the word, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce, that word can mean something else. It just means a gathering, right? Or you've probably heard the called out or whatever, but it wasn't specific to church. So this is just not some use that divides a group of people that happen to meet in a church that's a bad double use of it in the definition, in a Christian context every Sunday, from those who just meet something else. Instead, it is a couple of words that are added to church at least 10 times in the English Standard Version that makes it exciting instead of boring. Do you happen to know what those two words are? Let's turn back to Acts. Remember how we were starting off that area about calling the Ephesus elders, the elders from Ephesus? So let's turn to Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The church of God. When we use the word church to refer to our wonderful family here, when we use that word, or to more Christians, or I guess you could say to fewer, it is not a sterile, boring English word to narrow things down. Instead, it is a powerful, energetic word that connects us to the giver of life, to the Most High. We are members not of a church, we are members of the church of God. The church of God. And the exegetical dictionary of the New Testament, it does the Greek, so the word for church, whenever it appears by itself as an ecclesiological term, is to be understood as an abbreviation for the original term, and it shows the Greek for that. That is, the more precise designation is, taking some words out, of God, should always be assumed. Did you catch that? So the scholars are saying this. Of course, scholars say a lot of wrong things too. That whenever you hear the word church in an ecclesiological context, whenever you hear the word church, you should always tack of God mentally with it. That changes the word drastically. And perhaps we should remind ourselves every time we use that word, we don't attend a church, we attend a church of God. Okay, you can do the next one with me. Ready? We aren't members of a church. We are members of a church of God. Exactly. One more. You aren't sitting, and I'm not standing, in a church. You are sitting in a church of God. Exactly. Very good. Now the kids are waking up. Awesome. And you know, and since Jesus is God, it is still biblical to call ourselves the Arvada Church of Christ. That, and Paul writes in Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ, all the churches of Christ greet you. What an awesome thing it is to be able to say that we are members of the Church of God and the Church of Christ. Now, I suppose I've depended on your patience long enough. I should explain why I asked everyone who hears my voice, whether you're sitting before me or on the internet, or perhaps listening later to the recording, to please return to the Catholic Church. How many here have recited the Apostles' Creed? There we go, just a few. Well, now you're going to have to hear me do it. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Christ Jesus, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Those who created the National Back to Church Sunday are probably thinking of the word church in the context of the local congregation. The Roman Catholic Church would likely gladly have you expand that definition to mean denomination. But what did we learn today? It never means denomination. In the Apostles' Creed, church has a word in front of it. What was that word? Louder? Catholic. Thank you. Say it for the recording. One more time. What's that word? Catholic. Thank you. In that context, does it mean the Roman Catholic Church? No. Instead, it means the universal church, the entire body of believers, the entire body of Christ. I would say, if you have fallen away, please return to the Holy Catholic Church. the communion of saints. And you know, I really don't care what local church that is, as long as it's a collection of true believers. Let's see. If our pews are a little less full because some other true believing church's pews are more full, we still praise God, don't we? Now, I would also say, if you're sitting before me, or you hear me, and you've never been a part, or truly been a part of the Holy Catholic, change that to Universal Church, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? As Uncle Milty humorously noted, you're never too bad to come in, and you're never too good to stay out. And like that newcomer at the 4th Street Church, if you're sitting here today with us and you haven't turned your heart to Christ, you have found your group. You have. Trust me. Michelle, did we find our group? She shakes her head, yes. Jacob, did you find your group? You didn't find your group here? Oh, yes, right? Oh, good. No, he's got so practiced at saying no. Good, you had me worried for a second. Otherwise, I was going to talk about baptism behind me later today. But, you know, more importantly, it's not just a church, is it? What did we say it was? It's the church of God. The church of Christ. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and become a member of the Holy Catholic Church, the Church of God.